Alright, Rosa. So we left off on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So if you remember again, we're in the midst of trying to reconcile the two brisos by the Zov. So we had two brisos. One brisa said that if the Zov, remember the Zov was wearing his pouch, right? It was wearing the pouch outside of the Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara was discussing the idea that halacha lemaisa, one brisa said that he's chayiv for it, one brisa said that he's not chayiv for it. So the Gemara was trying to reconcile who the two different brisos reflect two different opinions, the two different brisos reflect two different cases. So the last stage that the Gemara was that perhaps they reflect two different cases. And one of the cases is what we call a Zav Bal Shalosh Riyos, right, where the Zav ultimately had three emissions. The third emission occurred on Shabbos. The Shivan Akim, therefore, won't begin until the next day. Therefore, the only reason why the Zav needs to wear the pouch is why? Is to, in order to prevent his clothing from becoming dirty. So the Gemara wants to suggest now the following. Last two lines. This Tana holds kol atzulei tinuf lo kachoshet. So this Tana must hold, therefore, that halach lamaisa, when you wear an article of clothing, in order to prevent your clothing from becoming soiled, that's not called a significant article of clothing. And that's why halacha lemaisa, when the Zav Bal Shalosh Riyos wears this pouch out, he's not chayiv. Why? Because it's not considered to be a significant item. Tisnan, now the Gemara wants to give a raya, that when you go ahead and you use something to prevent something else from getting dirty, that's not a significant thing. Tisnan, hakofe kara ala kosel. If somebody goes ahead and places an overturned plate on top of a wall, so we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where halacha lemaisa, the water is now running off the plate and let's say onto food items below. So the halacha is, we know that a food item only becomes susceptible to becoming tamei when it comes in contact with one of the shiva mashkin, with liquid. Right now we'll go with water. But that's only true of what? If the water was placed on it with kavana. But let's say if it just stam rains, or water comes onto it accidentally, then halacha lemaisa, the item is not hukshur l'tuma. So the Gemara says, for example, if you have an overturned plate on top of a wall, and now let's say water is coming down on the plate, im bishul shatud ha-ka'ara, if the plate is there because you want the plate to be clean, harezi b'chiyutan, then what does that mean? You want the water. Once you want the water, then the water is significant to you, which then means that the runoff of that water will in fact make other items roy lekabel tuma. Im bishvil, top of your base, im bishvil shlo yivaka akosel, but if the plate is there in order to protect, let's say it's raining, in order to protect the wall from getting wet, eino b'chiyusan, then halacha lemaisa, when the water runs off and hits the vegetation, the vegetation does not become susceptible to tuma. So I will say the Gemara is suggesting over there that you see from there what? That halacha lemaisa in case number two, the plate is just being placed there in order to go ahead and what? In order to go ahead and protect the wall, which then shows you that items that are there for protection are not significant. The Gemara is proving it by a little bit of a roundabout way. It shows that it's not significant by showing that the liquid that runs off that plate is not going to be machshir something for tuma. To which the Gemara says, how can you compare that? Me dummy. In that case, you don't want the liquids at all, right? Because remember, in this particular case, the whole chap is, you're trying to protect the wall from the liquids. You don't want the rainwater. However, but in this case over here of the pouch, you dafka want the pouch to be there because the pouch ultimately will be able to receive any or to be contain any of the emissions. Holo damia elele seifa. So the truth is, the Zov case only is comparable to the end of that brisa. So what does the end of the brisa say? Areva, if let's say you have a bowl, sheyarad dlaf lusocha, and rainwater or runoff water ran into it, right? Flows into it. Mayim hanissin vanitzpin einon b'chiyuton. So water that then comes out of the bowl, that drips out of the bowl, that sloshes out of the bowl, is not b'chiyuton. Chiyuton ultimately means it will not go ahead and be machshir vegetation to receive to be mekabel tuma. B'sheva socha harei ze b'chiyuton. But ultimately what? But the water that's in the bowl itself has the ability to, what Rabbi was saying, make food items susceptible to tumah. Why? Because the idea is you want to trap that water in the bowl, which then by definition makes the water significant. So the Gemara says, oh, that's comparable to the Zod case, because that's comparable to the pouch. Because just like in the pouch is where you want to go ahead, and if there is another emission, you want the pouch to be able to contain the emission. Fine. So the point of also all the Gemara is the only point the Gemara is making over here is that halacha lemaisa, we wanted to suggest that maybe the zav would not be chayiv because the article of clothing is not considered to be significant. Kamashon that we see, it's not so poshut that if you have a utensil that you want to contain something, in this case the zav emission, perhaps that it does fact make the article significant, and therefore the zav would be chayiv for otsa. Therefore the Gemara gives a different answer. Ella abayi v'rava. Therefore abayi and rava say the following. Dermit arbayu lo kashya. The two brisos are not contradictory. HaRabbi Yehuda, the HaRabbi Shimon. They reflect two different opinions. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Take a look at Rashi Rabbi Osai. HaRabbi Yehuda, so Rashi writes, Da Amar, Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. So Rabbi Osai, this is going to be a machlokas that we're going to spend a lot of time on throughout Masechah Shabbos, about a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa means that there are times when you do a Melacha not for the specifically intended purpose, right? So you carry out the aspects of the malacha, but whereas malacha is normally done for purpose A, it turns out that you do it for purpose B. So for example, let's take hotza'ah for a moment. So why does a person normally do hotza'ah? Right? To get an item from point A to point B. Well, what happens if that's not the point of your hotza? Right? The point of your hotza, like for example, is if you're the zav and you have the pouch, is to catch the emissions. That's what's called the malacha shenet zricha legufa. So therefore, Rashi says over here, Rabbi Yehuda's one who holds that malacha shenet zricha legufa shebertzono lo sasa ve'eno tzorech leikar tachlisa. Kihacha she'enu tzarech lezivazu she'al yoda ba'akis hazeh va'afa piking chayiv ala. So for example, in this case, let's say if we set up the brisos, that the second brisos is talking about a zav bal shalosh re'ios who doesn't really need the zivos, but remember, just needs to protect his clothing. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a malacha she'enu tzricha legufa is chayiv, versus Rabbi Shimon, who holds that it's potter. So the Gemara therefore wants to suggest, Abai and Rava want to suggest, that the two contradictory brisas are not contradictory at all. They're reflecting two different opinions. The brisa that says that the Zav is potter for carrying out the pouch, that is the position of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a malacha shein etzricha legufa is potter, versus the brisa that holds that shechayiv is Rabbi Yehuda, holds that a malacha shein etzricha legufa is chayiv. Fine. Tani debei Rabbi Shma. Yotze Adam b'tfilin be'erev Shabbos im chashecha. So I will say, now the Gemara jumps back to talk about some of the other, remember the topic that we're dealing with over here are things that you should not carry out with you as Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos is approaching, for fear that you may forget that you are carrying the item, and therefore you'll end up violating Hutzah. So the Gemara says like this, A person is permitted to go ahead and wear his tefillin on Friday afternoon and go out with them, even close to Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Because Rabbi Bar Rav Huna said that a person is obligated, lemashmish literally means to touch their tefillin at all times. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that a person is obligated to have a constant awareness of his tefillin as long as he is wearing them. The way we accomplish that is halacha lemaisa, to go out and touch them at all times. Now, the Gemara just takes a break and explains this. Where is this from? Kavachomer mitzitz. We learn this out from the tzitz. The tzitz, of course, is the plate that the Kohen Gadol wears across his forehead that says Kodesh Hashem. Is an interesting Kodesh Hashem, sanctified to Hashem. Interesting machlokas as to whether or not Kodesh LaHashem is on one line or is Kodesh LaHashem on two lines. Not important for now, but the point is, it's the plate. There was a space between the mitznefes, between the hat of the magbas of the Kohen Gadol and his forehead, and he would wear the tzitz across his forehead. So the Gemara says, "Matzitz she'ein bo ella askara achos." if the tzitz, which only has one name of God in it, Amra Torah v'haya'a mitzcho tamit, the Torah says that it shall be on his forehead constantly, and we darshan that to mean, shelo yasiach da'ato mimenu. That's what? That it means that a person should never take their mind off it. The idea is that when it's shayam mitzcho tamit, the Gemara's understanding is not just a statement of placement, but a statement of intent, of concentration. It has to be constantly on his mind. Tefillin, sheyesh bahen askaros harbe, al achas kama v'kama. Then all the more so tefillin, which has multiple names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it, a person has to have a constant awareness of it also. Hilchach, mitgar dachiluchu. Therefore, because a person has this constant awareness of tefillin, we allow a person to wear his tefillin out on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, even close to Shabbos, and we're not concerned that he's going to forget about it and ultimately wear it into Shabbos and potentially perform Chutzah, because he's going to be constantly aware of it. And therefore, the assumption is he will find the time to remove it prior to Shabbos. Tanya, Chananya Omer, Chayiv Adam L'mashesh B'Bigdo Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. So Chananya says that a person is obligated, now the Gemara says kind of the result of all of these discussions, is a person is obligated to search his garment Erev Shabbos before the onset of Shabbos. What's the logic behind that? I will say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lemashish vebigdo shelo yehei karuch bishum davar penyotzienu." Person has to check their pockets prior to Shabbos to make sure that they're not going to end up carrying anything. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Hilchosa rabosi l'Shabbos." This is a very important halacha for Shabbos. Rashi says, "Hilchos Rabosi Dover Godol Yishkan LaFisho MeIsur Shabbos." This is a very important yisod that prevents one from violating the Shabbos. Lo Yafles Kalov. So the Mishnah said that you should not delouse your clothing. Now, also, what the Gemara is going to deal with over here is the following: the Mishnah, as we saw, read didn't read in a totally flowing fashion. Because the Mishnah said a person should not delouse their clothing, lo yafles kelov, velo yikra lo oraner, and he should not read by the light of the candle. So the Gemara is now going to ask, ibay lehu, lo yafles kelov bayom shema yarog. What is the Gemara actually saying? Is the Gemara saying that you shouldn't delouse your clothing, and that's a statement even by day, because we're concerned that you're going to kill the lice? Is that the issue over here? And killing the lice, of course, then would become a potential issue of Shechita on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer he, and it would reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer, the sign Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha-horeg kina b'Shabbos ki lo horeg gomel. Because Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that if you go ahead and you kill a louse on Shabbos, it's as if you went ahead and killed a camel. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, Kilomar de gogol ma'od, just like a camel is very big, so even though the louse is very small, nevertheless, you still chayiv for it. And therefore, v'lo yikra la'or haner shemayata, and therefore, the statement of you should not read by candlelight is then what? A different, separate, and independent statement. That after the Mishnah says you should not delouse your clothing, even on Shabbos day, because you may end up killing the lice, then the Mishnah says, oh, and you also should not read by candlelight, because you may come to adjust the fire. You may come to tilt the lamp, cause the oil to be drawn up by the wick, and violate Havara. But they're really two separate concepts. O Dilma, or maybe, Tarvayu Shemayate, or maybe both of them are prohibited, both the delousing of the clothing, as well as the reading, are prohibited because you may come to go ahead and tilt the lantern, right? And therefore, again, the issue with delousing the clothing is not one really of killing the lice, but rather it's one again of potentially causing havara with the candle. So the Gemara says, Tashma, ein polin ve'ein korin lo'or haner, right? So the Braisa says, we do not go ahead and delouse clothing, and we don't read by the light of the ner. Now, in this version of the Braisa, it seems to link the two and tell us that the delousing of the clothing, again, is an issue of potentially tilting the lamp. So the Gemara says, but one second, Mia lima mimas nisen. Why should this Braisa be any stronger than our Mishnah? And right, so meaning, if we put the two texts side by side, our Mishnah is still a Mishnah. This is a Braisa, Tashma, ein polin la'oraner, ve'ein korin la'orhaner. Ah, so now we have another Braisa, and what does the Braisa say? The Braisa says, we do not delouse our clothing by the light of the candle, and we do not read by the light of the candle, Elu min ha'alochos, I mean ha'alochos, sh'amru ba'aliyas Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garan. Right? And these are of the halachos that were said in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garan. We'll talk about that attic in just a little while. Shmamina, the tarvaihu shemayate shmamina. So learn out from here that indeed both the delousing of the clothing as well as the reading are both issues regarding the tilting of the light. So it turns out, Abosai, that when the Mishnah says you may not delouse your clothing, because that is a process that requires a lot of light, we don't want you doing that la'or haner on Shabbos, because you may come to tilt the lamp, cause the wick to draw up more oil, and that's an issue of havar, an issue of kindling on Shabbos, which would be the same problem that would come up if you were to read directly by the candlelight. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Afilu lahavchin bein bigdo lebigdei ishto. So Rabbi Hussein, now the Gemara is going to talk about a couple of other things that you really should not do by the candlelight, out of fear that you may come to adjust the light source, which could result in Havara. So for example, now Rabbi Hussein, the name is Shmuel, that you shouldn't even use the candlelight to go ahead and what? To go ahead and distinguish between your clothing and your wife's clothing. Rabbi Hussein, the chiddush of that statement is the following, that the assumption is that you don't really need a lot of light to be able to distinguish between what's your clothing and what's your wife's clothing. But apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is coming along in the name of Shmuel and saying no, that even for such a usage that doesn't require so much light, you still shouldn't do it by the candlelight out of fear that you'll come to tilt the lamp. Amar Rava, where Rava comes to qualify this, and he says, Lo Amar Ela Dibnei Mechusa. That's only true for the clothing of the people of Mechusa. Aval Dibnei Chaklisa Meida Yodi. But for the Bnei Chaklisa, which we'll define in just a moment, they know. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi, Abosai. Bnei Mechuza, Rashi says, Mefanki. So the people of Mechuza were Mefunakim, right? They were very delicate. What does that mean? They weren't laborers. Velo Avdi Melacha, right? They were not physical laborers. And therefore, Ubigdehem Rechavim Shal Isha Utsrichim Iyun. So also, here's what's interesting. Apparently, the people who did not have to engage in physical labor, the style was that they wore, I guess you'd call it like baggy, wide sleeves. As opposed to people who were working, you can't wear wide sleeves if you're working, it's going to interfere with your work. They would wear narrow sleeves. So Rava comes along and says, now interestingly enough, wide sleeves was a female style. So for men who did not have to work, they also had the same style of clothing. So Rava says, then when Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, that you shouldn't even use the candlelight to distinguish between your clothing and your wife's clothing. Who is that talking about? That's about Bnei Mechuza, where in actuality the style of men's clothing was similar to that of women's clothing with the wide sleeves. And therefore we don't want you using candlelight to distinguish between the two, because you may come to tilt the nair. But let's say Bnei Chaklisa, Rashi says, right? Farmers, laborers, people who work, people who have to work physical work. So they could easily distinguish between their clothing and their wife's clothing, and it's not going to be a problem. So the Gemara says, "Ubdibnei mechuzah nami lo amran ela dezekenos aval diyelados nedi yodi." And furthermore, even in mechuzah, where the male styles were somewhat similar to the female styles, that's only true with the clothing of older women. Rashi says, "Kitzarim b'miktzas v'sha anashim uganim rechavim v'domin zelaze v'gazrinan shemayata." So even in mechuzah, we're only worried about distinguishing between male clothing and the clothing of older women. However, about the lugos with the clothing of younger women, is dissimilar enough that you could even use the candlelight to distinguish by, or not, because then you're going to have to tilt the candle. Tan Rabbanan. Ein polin b'rishus harabim mipnei hakavod. So the Brisa says, you should not delouse your clothing in rishus harabim out of kavod. Out of kavod. And I will say, the kavod just simply is, it doesn't look nice. Out of your kavod, right? Don't delouse your clothing in rishus harabim, because it doesn't look nice. Ki otsebo, amr Yehuda va'amri le'i rabbi Nechemia. This is actually interesting. Ein osin apiktoizen. Apiktoizen. You should not go ahead and do this. Now, what is apiktoizen? Apiktoizen is, interesting, is people used to induce vomiting. Now, that's actually interesting. Sometimes they do it for medicinal purposes, but that just sounds strange. But sometimes they actually would do it in order to be able to eat more. Right? That if a person overate, or if a person, things that we try to stay away from today, but right, but the idea is that you shouldn't do this in public either, which also makes sense. when you delouse your clothing, molel vizorek, you should go ahead and when you pull off the louse, you should roll it and throw it away. Rashi puts out over here, why do you molel vizorek? Look at Rashi. Molel vizorek. Bishabis. Molel vizorek. Bishabis molel lahatish kochan shleach zero elav. Ubilvad shlo yimla bedochek viyaro. So the reason you go ahead and roll it is because apparently when you roll the louse, it immobilizes it and prevents it from reattaching to your clothing. But you should not go ahead and kill the louse. I'm finishing off Rashi. The svirale harigas kina shavus. Okay, so we'll stop over. Fine. Ubilvachlo yarok. Abashol, Omer Abashol says, no tel vizorek. Abashol says you pull it off and you throw it away. Ubilvachlo yimlo. But you should not go ahead and roll it. Should not go and roll it. So now Rashi finishes off and he says, "Vabashol Rabbi Elazar Mechayiv Chatos Hilcha Kazuna Melilo Shem Yarog." So also the fundamental machlokes is going to see in just a little bit is whether or not you're permitted to kill a louse on Shabbos or not. That's really what we're going to see. Are you permitted to go ahead and kill a louse on Shabbos? Okay. So the shaila is what's wrong? No, that's what we're going to see on the base. So depending on whether or not you can kill a louse is going to determine how you go ahead the process for removing the particular louse. So the first opinion says you pull it off, you roll it to immobilize it, and you throw it away. Because according to the first Vandam, if you end up killing it, it's not such a big deal. According to Abishol, however, you can't roll it because if you roll it, you may end up killing it, and killing it is problematic. So the Gemara goes on and says the following. Amar Rav Huna halocha molel vizorek. Rav Huna said the halacha is you roll it and you throw it away. V'zehu kvodo. This is the appropriate way to do it. V'afilu b'chol, even during the week. Rava mikateilu. Rava would kill them. Rav Sheshes mikateilu. Right, Rav Sheshes would do the same. So the Gemara, look at Rashi, mikateiluhu hargan u'bishabbos. These particular one would mamish kill the lice on Shabbos itself. Rava shadi luhu lekana denayo. Rava would throw it into a receptacle of water. Amalu Rav Nachman lebanse. Rav Nachman would say to his daughters, "Ketulin, kill the lice. Va'ashma inon li chala disanvosi, and let me hear the voices of my enemies." Rav Nachman didn't have good feelings towards the lice, right? And so get rid of the lice. Tanya Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Ein Hargin Esama Acholas B'Shabbos, Divrei Beis Shammai. So we'll say, now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara poses now some Achlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So Rav Shimon Elazar says, you can't kill the Acholas, you can't go ahead. Rashi says, Acholas is another name for Kino, right? You can't kill lice on Shabbos. U Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel says it's mutter. The Gemara and Amud Beis will discuss why that is in just a little bit. But the truth is, take a quick look at Rashi. We might as well see it here. Matirin Rashi says, "Kedim Efarish Time Aperik Shmona Shrotzim Me'elim Ma'adomim Demishkan Ma'elim Parin V'Ravim Av Kol She Parav V'Rava V'Kina Ina Parav V'Rava Elam Ibasar Adam He Shoretzes." So also it's very interesting. So Rashi says, now remember, what would be the issue with killing lice? The issue would be that you'd violate Shechita. Now remember, we know that Halacha L'maisa, all of the Malachos of the Mishkan are learned out from, all the Malachos of Shabbos are learned out from the Mishkan. So where was Shechita found in the Mishkan? Shechita was found when they slaughtered the rams for their hides, right? Those hides created the roof of the Mishkan. So interesting enough, the Gemara learns out that you see from here that you only go ahead and violate Shechita for something that reproduces. But he says, lice, which don't reproduce, but rather generate from the flesh of man, there's no chiyuv Shechita. Now, Rabbi said, we know that lice do reproduce. So the Marashah, for example, the Rush explains that what Rashi really means is that when you have things that reproduce with eggs that are so small that they can't necessarily be seen by the human eye, so that's not necessarily subject to the laws of Shechita. So that's the fundamental machlokes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That do we say that since the lice reproduce with such small eggs, is that called reproduction for the purpose that they would be under the umbrella of Shechita, or that no, they're too small that it only refers to larger types of animals? So Beis Shammai says that you can't kill the ma'acholas because such the laws of Shechita, and Beis Hillel says you can. Similarly, they brought down these other machloksim. Ein mishadchin esatinogos la'aris. You can't make shiduchim on Shabbos. You can't make shiduchim on Shabbos. Now, what does this mean? So we'll say this is not what we think about, like pairing people up. When they talk about, when the Gemara talks about shiduchim, this is real shiduchim. This is how much money. This is the financial terms of the marriage as well. Rashi points out over here, in mishadchin b'Shabbos, mimshum mimtzo chafatzecha. Because on Shabbos, one is not permitted to go ahead and do things for their own needs. Rather, one is supposed to devote themselves to their spiritual needs. So taking care of business, so to speak, on Shabbos is not permitted. That includes shiduchim as well. Furthermore, v'lo asatinuk l'olam dosef l'olam du'umnus. On Shabbos, a person should not make arrangements for a child's yeshiva, right? And also, or for a child to learn a trade, right? Because these are also considered to be like taking care of business on Shabbos. We don't go ahead and do nichum aveilim on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara here switches gears. Rashi says, mishum demitztaer im hamitztarim. Because obviously, if you go to be menachem aval on Shabbos, that takes away from your own egg Shabbos itself, and you can't do that. Similarly, ve'in mevakin chum b'Shabbos. We don't do biker cholim on Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. These are the words of Beis Shammai. Because according to Beis Shammai, again, you can't do anything, A, that's your own needs, and B, you can't do anything that's going to give you tzara, take it from your own egg Shabbos. However, u'Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel permits all of these things. The reason why Beis Hillel permits all of these things, Rashi says, the kasavri chafatzecha v'lo chafetzei shamayim. So Beis Hillel holds that each of these things has a spiritual component to it, right? Arranging shiduchim obviously has a spiritual component to it. Biker cholim, nichum aveilim, lelamda omnus, even to teach a child a trade, to arrange to teach a child a trade, these all have spiritual components, says Beis Hillel, and therefore one is permitted to do it, says the Gemara. Now that the Gemara mentioned biker cholim, the Gemara is going to spend a few minutes on this. Tanrabanan. If one goes ahead and comes in to do Bikr Cholim on Shabbos, and I will say, obviously, the Braisa Paskins like Beis Hillel, that Bikr Cholim would be permitted on Shabbos. Because otherwise, according to Beis Shammai, wouldn't be even be able to permit it to do this. So if one goes into the Mavakir Chol on Shabbos, Omer, Shabbos himi lezok, urufua krova lolo. A person says, we can't call out on Shabbos, right? We don't call out on Shabbos. Rashi says, now this is interesting, why don't we daven on Shabbos explicitly for refuah? So Rashi says, tzarech laharchiv datam betanchum and shlo yitztaru. The idea is because if on Shabbos we daven for cholim in the same way that we daven during the week, then what would happen? That would cause a person tsar. It would take it from a person's own egg Shabbos. Therefore, says the Gemara, if you do biker cholim on Shabbos, what you have to say is like this, Shabbos imelizok. On Shabbos, we can't cry out like we do on the rest of the week. However, urefua krava lavo. But we have confidence that the refua will come. Rabbi Meir says, yecholi hi sheterachim. That a person could say, Rashi says, "Intechabdu amid itztareba." Yechol hishtrache means the Shabbos itself. The Shabbos itself could bring rachamim. And Rashi points out that if we go ahead and we honor the Shabbos and dafka, don't allow the tzar to in any way bring down the level of our own Shabbos, the schus of Shabbos itself could bring a refuah. Rabbi Huda says that when a person does bikur cholim on Shabbos, they should say, Hamakom yirachim alecha, the Kodesh Baruch Hu should have rachmanas on you, va'al chole Yisrael. And not just on you, but on all of the sick people, all of the sick of the Jewish people. Rashi says, B'so chole Yisrael, shemitoch shekololon ima achirim, tfilason nishmas b'schusan shal rabim. Because the idea is, Rabbi Huda is saying, don't just daven for the individual chole, but rather what? Include this chole in the greater collective of chole. This way a person has a better chance of their tefillahs being answered. Rabbi Yossi says, Hamakom yirachim alecha b'soch chole Yisrael. So Rabbi Yossi again has it even more explicit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on you in the midst of all chole Yisrael. Again, including the individual within the collective. Shavna, Ishu Shalaim Bichnisasa Omer. So interestingly enough, Shavna was a man from Yerushalayim. When he would go in to do Bikur Cholim, he would do the following. Rashi says, Adam Godol Hayab Yerushalayim Mishmo Shavna. Okay, he was a great man in Yerushalayim, his name was Shavna. So what happened? When he would go in to do Bikur Cholim, he would say, Omer, Shalom. The first thing he would say is what? Shalom. There should be peace here. There should be peace here. Or be Yitzyasa Omer, right? And when he would leave, is on Shabbos again. When he would leave, he would say, Shabbos imilizok. We can't cry out on Shabbos as we would during the rest of the week. However, urefua krava lavo, but refua is close to coming. V'rachamav merubim. Right, his compassion, rachamav, his compassion is great and abundant. V'shavto, or v'shifto, b'shalom. Look at Rashi, shifto b'shalom, nochu b'shabas cham l'shalom. I wish you, essentially, a Shabbat shalom. Right? I wish you that the rest of your Shabbos should be b'shalom. So the Gemara says, Kiman Ozlo, Hod Am Rabbi Chanina. Whose opinion, or who does it go like that which Rabbi Chanina said? Mi sheyeshlo chola b'soch beso. If someone has a chola within his home, Sorech sheyarvenu b'soch chola Yisrael. He should include his chola within the collective cholim of Klal Yisrael. Kiman k'Rabbi Yossi. Like Rabbi Yossi just said this before. So Am Rabbi Chanina, b'koshi hitiru lenachim avelim. Rabbi Chanina says, it was only under duress that we allowed Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Rashi says, Bikoshi Yitiru Mipnei Shemitztayer, because it causes the person who's visiting a certain amount of tzaras. Now, when they say Nichum Avelim, obviously the person is not actively sitting Shiva. The person is not actively sitting Shiva on Shabbos. What it means is you're permitted to still give words of consolation. Remember, Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva. You'd still be permitted to give words of consolation to someone who endured a loss. That's also called Nichum Avelim, albeit a little less dramatic than the way we do it during the week. So the Gemara says that really, if you ask us in the purest sense, should you be doing this on Shabbos? No. But Aloch Lemaisa, but people do it. It's difficult not to do it in certain circumstances. And therefore, Chazal, the Gemara is giving us the formulations to be used in those circumstances. The Gemara says like this, Om Rav Arachana, Ki Avinan Azlei Basreid Rabbi Elazar, L'shaluye b'tficha. So now Rabbi Barav Chana says the following. There will be times when I would follow Rabbi Eliezer, L'shaluye b'tficha. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, b'tficha b'chola. I would follow Rabbi Eliezer when he would go to visit someone who was sick. Okay, Zinnin, Amar hamakom yifkadecha l'shalom. There would be times when he would say to the person, Hashem should remember you in peace, right? And there would be times, V'zinnin amalei rachmana yad kirencha l'shalom. Now, interestingly enough, they both mean the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember you for peace. But they're both saying, what's the chilek? Sometimes he would say it in Hebrew, and sometimes he would say it in Aramaic. So the Gemara says, Hechi avitachi. How could he do Bikur Cholim in Aramaic? After all, V'ha'amar Rabbi Huda, Li'olam al-yishal adam tzracha b'lashon arami. A person should never ask his needs in Aramaic. Why? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol ha'shoel tzracha b'lashon arami, because whoever asks his needs in Aramaic, Ein malachi ha'shareis nizkakim lo. The malachi ha'shareis, the ministering angels, can't help him. She'ein malachi ha'shareis makirin b'lashon arami. Because angels don't speak Aramaic. So the Gemara says, Shiny Chola, the Rabbi said, just so you understand, take a look at Rashi. Rashi's, actually, no Rashi yet. But I'll just tell you, this Gemara itself is the subject of a very heated dispute. Because, you know, there's a whole discussion in terms of, we don't believe in intermediaries. That's why, interestingly enough, you know that by Slichos, there's a very beautiful paragraph that we say towards the end of Slichos, of Machnisei Rachamim. Right, Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Tfilaseinu. So Machnisei Rachamim are literally those who bring in supplications, bring our supplications in before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rechaim Valajner was cried Shar V'Kayim, that we have to take that paragraph out of Tfilah. He mamish felt it was heresy. Felt it was heresy because what are you talking about? We don't have Malachim who bring our tefillahs before the Ribono Shel Olam. Our tefillahs go right to the Ribono Shel Olam. So, interesting enough, not everybody agrees with that. Some say that there are certain angelic, not intermediaries, but certain angelic, the better word than intermediaries are, facilitators, thank you. Facilitators. The tefillahs go right to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we have angels who advocate on our behalf, and the advocates don't speak certain languages. So we're not going to deal with it today. It's beyond our scope for today. But I'm just pointing out that this piece in and of itself is a fascinating machlokas. So the Gemara is asking, how was Rabbi Elazar? Why did he daven in Aramaic for the chola if the angels, we'll call the angelic facilitators, don't speak Aramaic? To which the Gemara says something interesting. Shiny chola. it could be that a chola is different. Why? The shechina imo, because the shechina is literally with him. The amarav anan amarav minayin sheshechina soed es achola. How do we know that the shechina goes ahead and literally supports the chola? Shin emar Hashem yisadenu ar arash davai, because the pasuk says, quoting over here from Tehillim, Al eres divai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will support him. Eres divai literally means on his sick bed. Tanya nami haki hanichnas levakir esachol. If someone goes in to visit the sick, lo yeshev agabi amito, you shouldn't sit on the bed. Velo agabi kise, and not on a chair. Ela misate fi yoshev lefanav, you should wrap yourself and sit in front of him. Why? Mipnei shashchina lemalam erashos of shachola, because the shchina itself dwells right by the head of a chola. Shin emar Hashem yisadenu al eres divai. Va'amar Rava Amaravin, Minayin Shakodish Baruch Hu Zanas Achola. How do you know that God literally sustains the Chola? Shin Emar Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Davai. The Kodesh Baruch Hu supports him on his sick bed. So the Gemara therefore says that the reason why Rabbi Elozer, was able to daven in Aramaic was because when it comes to a Chola, the Shechina is right there. Because the Shechina is right there, there is no need for any type of even angelic facilitators, and therefore I could daven in any language I want for the Chola. Rabbosei Halacha L'maisa, you should know that we actually fit this Halacha L'maisa, which is when a person does Bikur Cholim, the Halacha is we don't stand by the head or sit by the head of the bed, because the Shechina does rest by the head of the bed of the Chola. When the Gemara says you can't sit down on the bed, that's the Gemara's thing about there is people were laying down on beds that are much lower. So the idea is you wouldn't want to sit higher than the bed itself, because that would be placing yourself higher than the Shechina. Today, when our bed situation is a little bit different, Halach L'maisa, we just don't sit by the head of the bed where the Shechina is, but anywhere else, one would be able to sit. V'lo yikra la'or aner. Next. Can't read by the light of the lantern, of the candle. Shemiyata, because you may come to adjust the flame. Amar Rava, afilu gavoa shtei komos, v'afilu shtei mardos, v'afilu asara batim zua gavzu. So Rava makes a dramatic statement, even if the candle is totally out of reach, right? Even if the candle is two stories high, mardo is an ox goad, right? Two goads high, even if it's 10 houses high, you still can't do it. Why, Rabbi Say, what's the logic? This is what we call in halacha, a low plug. A low plug is when Chazal went ahead and made their halachos, they made their halachos in a way that's not subject to qualification. Because once you get into qualification, it's suddenly this case yes, this case no. So halacha lemaisa, even if the candle is out of reach, you still should not read by it. We're going to qualify that a little bit more. So the Gemara says, chatul delulukri. Furthermore, when we say that you can't read by the candlelight, it's only what? It's only halacha lemaisa if it's one person. Hotray shapir dummy. But apparently two people could read together by the candlelight. Why? Because the assumption is that therefore if one goes ahead and let's say extends his head and is about to go ahead and adjust the candle, what will happen? His chaver will stop him from doing it. V'atanyo, we have a brisa that says, lo echad v'lo shnayim, but the brisa says whether it's one person or two people, they still can't read by the candlelight, to which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elozer lo kasha, kan be'inyan echad, kan mishnei yonim. Oh, what does it depend on? If you have two people reading the same thing, then Einachinami, they can read by candlelight, because since they're engaged in the same process, if one attempts to adjust the flame, the other will prevent him from doing so. But if they're reading two different things, essentially they're both minding their own business, neither one is going to pay attention to what the other one is doing, and therefore, Aloch Lamaisa, even with two people, one may come to adjust the light. Amar Rav Huna, Obi Medura, when it comes to a bonfire, right, the Medura can mean a torch, it really means over here like a large fire, Afilu Asara Bene Adam Asar. Even if you have 10 people sitting around it, they still can't read, because the assumption is that they're still going to be distant from one another, and therefore each one will still end up doing his own thing, and therefore there is the potential that each one will come to adjust the flame. Amar Rava, im Adam Chashuv hu Mutar. Rava says if he's an Adam Chashuv, it's Mutar. Rashi says, Mutar, likros la'or haner, she'eno ragi lahatos ner b'cham ibnei chashivuso. Because an Adam Chashuv never ends up adjusting the lantern to begin with, right? He doesn't do that during the week. He has someone else do that for him. So because of that, we're not concerned that if he reads by it on Shabbos, he'll come to adjust it, because he never adjusts it anyway. I'm sorry? No, it's not, because Adam Chashuv is never included in the Gzeira. never including the gzeira. A gzeira only applies to people who are in the parsha. An adam chashev is not in the parsha. Meisvei lo yikra lo orhaner shemayata. So the Brayis says a person should not read by the orhaner lest he come to adjust it. Amar Rabbi Yishma ben Elisha ani ekra velo ata. So Rabbi Yishma ben Elisha says, but it doesn't apply to me. I can read by the light, and I won't come to adjust it. So Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha felt that he wasn't concerned. This was meant for other people. He wasn't concerned about it for himself. What happened? Pam echad kara ubikesh lahatos. So what happened? One time he was reading by the Aranair, and he caught himself right as he was about to adjust the flame. What did he say? Amar kama gidom divrei chacham shei omrim lo yikra la'arhaner. So Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha said, oh, how great are the chachamim that they understood human psychology so well that they said you shouldn't read by arhaner. Rabbi Nassan had a different version of the story, and according to his version, Amar kara vihita, that in Rabbi Nassan's story, Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha literally read by the arhaner, and what? He violated Shabbos. He actually violated the melacha of Havara, and he ended up going ahead and what? And adjusting the nair. The Kasav Alpin Kasav, and he wrote down on his ledger, Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, Karisi Vetisi Ner B'Shabbos. I, Yishmael ben Elisha, read by a candle, read by a lantern, and adjusted it, and when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Avi Chatos Shmena. I will bring a big fat Chatos. Right, I will go ahead and bring a carbon chatos to atone for my violation of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Shani Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha, Hoyil Umesim Atzmal Divrei Torah Kehedyot. So Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha said that. So why did the Gemara bring this? Because the Gemara wanted to say that you see that it even applies for an Adam Chashuv. Right? The Gemara wanted to say that it doesn't apply to an Adam Chashuv. But you see over here that Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha applied it even to himself. To which the Gemara answers that Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha is different. Because Rabbi Shlomo ben Elisha always treated himself as an Adam Pashut, right? As a regular person, and not as an Adam Chashuv when it comes to Divrei Torah. Right? We'll stop over here. We'll pick up right over here tomorrow, Mir Tzashim.